The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 115. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube or join the mailing list at ronmckeefer.com to stay up to date with the latest guests and anything else that I have going on. This week, super excited to have Doug Smith with us. Doug is the head strength coach at Juniata College. And you saw him win the NSCA College Strength Coach of the Year this year at the Coaches Conference. He puts on a fantastic clinic every year with Hammer Strength and Lon Record and all the great things that they're doing. And want to make sure that he recognizes Lon's efforts and help make sure, and Hammer's efforts, help make sure that's a great event. But we get into that. We get into the conference. We get into being kind of a one-man band at a small school. How he's made the big time where he's at, you know, something we talk about quite a bit on this show, and lots of other topics. And I know you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Before we do, we want to make sure we recognize all of our sponsors: Sorinex.com, EliteForm.com, PlayUSA.com, and of course IgnitionAPG. And you know, this time of year is always a fantastic time, especially if you're following Ignition on Facebook or Twitter, and just seeing all the cool things that they're doing. The success that they're having. They work with several NFL players and, you know, training camps and things like that. But what's really cool to see is not just the successes they're having on the field, but the success and the impact that they're making in their communities all across the country. And so it's a direct reflection of their mission is, you know, training the mind, body, and spirit, and just do a fantastic job. But make sure you check them out on Facebook, Twitter. You know, they have several products, one of which is the Protein XO formula, and just a great tasting product. And if you're in a situation where you can give protein powder, that's definitely something you should check out, get samples of, reach out to them. But you know, their parent company is Prasco, and they you know, it's a pharmaceutical company, so you can definitely rest assured that it's informed choice and informed sport and certified and all those types of things. So make sure you check out Ignition APG. Lastly, you know, before we get to the episode, finally got my proof copies from the publisher of the CEO Strength Coach, a book that I've been working on for about 8 months now, and should be releasing soon, hopefully by the 1st of September. And you know, it's so cool. You know, I set a goal back 13, you know, when I was 13 years old, you know, with the whole list of other things to try to accomplish. And one of those was writing a book. And so gratifying to get a copy of a book that you wrote in the mail and just seeing it for the first time. There's really kind of lots of emotions that go along with that. But I put a lot of time and effort into this. There's, you know, it's definitely something I think that is missing, you know, in the market right now. It's not your typical X's and O's book, you know, and sets and reps. It's really kind of the business of strength conditioning and how you can become a success there. And success is defined by you. But, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, on the show, we talk a lot about becoming a great technician, a great manager, and a great entrepreneur. And so I use examples of my, you know, in my career of how to develop those skills and, you know, lots of feedback and input from other sources. But I really think you're going to get a ton out of it. Hope to get it in your hands soon. And make sure you're following me on Facebook and Twitter and all those things so that way I can keep you updated as to when it releases. But just in time, hopefully, for all those plane trips and those bus rides and things like that where you can throw it in your bag and take it with you. But real excited. Can't wait for you guys to see it. And, you know, I think it's going to be something that's impactful. So appreciate it. Looking forward to this episode. Know you're going to get a ton out of it. We'll see you on the other side. Take care. All right, guys, excited to have Doug Smith with us. If you were at the NSCA Coaches Clinic, you saw Doug get the Strength Coach of the Year award. And just a guy that I, you know, we haven't had a chance to really get to know each other well prior to this, but, you know, I've respected so much from afar. And so, Doug, I really, truly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing today.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on here. I really do. This is an honor. I know a lot about you. I know especially been a lot of places, but you know, I spent some time in Tennessee, so yeah. Just I don't know if that was a good or bad experience there, but
oh, it was awesome.
Way back sneaking into Gibbs Hall. I don't know if they still have Gibbs Hall there, you know, sneaking in the weight room there, and should have been spending more time sneaking in and talking to the strength coaches instead of trying to pump weight, but that was a long time ago.
No, it's a fantastic place, and I enjoyed it a lot. But well, Doug, you know, I mean, let's get into that a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about your journey. What kind of got you into the field, and then, you know, some stops along the way that have led you to Juniata?
Well, I tell you, I probably like a lot of coaches, I got involved with strength and conditioning through athletics. You know, I played athletics, and you really didn't have no choice as a young person. Fortunately, I love the weight room. I love the weight room, and I've always had that feel that, you know, I love the preparation as much as the season. You know what I mean? And I try to push that on the kids. I mean, I always felt, you know, I wasn't genetically a freak by any means, and so I had to push myself to develop myself as much as possible just to get out there and play. And it gets to be an addiction to the grind, and it's always been that way. And that's the way it's been. I originally from Florida, and you know, I'm not a young guy anymore. But you know, back in the I was started in '69, '70, getting in the weight room, and fortunately, I mean, I'm not going to talk about doing jumps over benches on hard concrete of as many reps as you could do. I mean, you learned a lot there by doing things the wrong way, and learning doing things the wrong way is probably as valuable as doing it the right way. So I have a lot of experience, but I was fortunate enough to have a coach at the time that did teach me intensity. And he understood about the intensity and work ethic. So that was one thing I got out of that. You know, after that, going to college and everything, I mean, I ended up there at Maryville College, actually. I played there at Maryville College outside of Knoxville, and I finished up my eligibility there, and then I ended up going up with a team up in West Virginia. It was AFAC. It was a semi-pro team right before the, league come in way back there. But played all over. It was a lot of fun, and I just said, you know, why not go ahead and finish my degree? So I went to West Virginia State. Mm-hmm. Finished my degree up there and ended up, coaching high school ball up there a couple of years. And my main focus was basically strength. I was a powerlifting coach here.
That's awesome.
Football team and baseball team and coached baseball. That's how I really got started right there. And then I went back to West Virginia State. I coached football there, and my main duty was I was the only strength and conditioning coach I had there. So I worked there for a while. Got away from it a little bit. Come back up here to head and work because my family's originally from Pennsylvania. I was visiting. I saw an ad in the paper about a football coach again. Got in, and I took over with the strength and conditioning, and that's where I ended up being strength and conditioning. Stayed here a couple years, went to Lock Haven University. Was up there a couple years, strength and conditioning coach for the football team there. While I was up there, I tried to get as many. I was real fortunate at the time. There wasn't as much with the internet and everything right now. You know all the internships and this, but you didn't know nothing back then. So,
right.
But I understood I needed to get to some places and learn. So I went down to Richmond. I was down there for part of the summer, worked with their program down there. Next year, I went to a totally different program. In the summer, I went to Penn State, and that was when JT was there, and it was a high-intensity program. Learned a lot there, actually.
Absolutely.
High intensity. But I'll tell you what an amazing man he was as far as attention to detail. I mean, I really understood. Being around him was probably so much learned about intensity and attention to detail, doing things correctly.
Absolutely.
It's anywhere I've been, and I think that's stuck with me. That's really stuck with me. After that, I come back here to Juniata College. They put in a new weight facility here. It was the first one. They were sort of like a lot of small colleges. They just had a little room in the back, and they put in a real nice facility. It was probably geared for athletes, but more for a community. So it took me a while, but it sort of changed over. We're like 10,500 square feet right now. In fact, right now I can smell paint on my side because we're knocking down walls down there and we're increasing, putting an extra 600 square feet in. And
that's great.
We're going to have so, and I just was real fortunate to land. Good place to raise a family. Great place to work. Great athletic director. I've two athletic directors. Great. And sounds like a recruiting talk right there, but it's been real good. So I've found home here, and it's been great.
Well, you got to be.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I
didn't have anything to say. I got on this camera. It was a little bit intimidating. Now I want to sit here and talk.
No, this is awesome. I think that's a great. I mean, so many times, and people on the show, they've heard me say this so many times, is everybody's always looking for the grass is greener. You know, they're not stopping and really appreciating the place that they work at and really soak it in. And it's refreshing to hear somebody that like you said. I mean, it sounds like recruiting speech, but that's what you live every single day. That's what you believe. And so because of that, you believe, you make the big time where you are, you know, and you've enjoyed however many years, 12 plus years, or, this second stint is 12 plus years.
Yeah, 12 plus, but, on and off for 17, 18 years. But,
yeah.
But I'll tell you what it is, too, I've been fortunate in a way, too, when you have a family, it's nice to keep a family in one spot. But the other thing, too, I mean, you're in a whole different situation because no matter how good a job you're doing, you're pretty much depends on how the
wins and losses, baby.
Record.
Yeah, wins and losses.
You don't have a lot of you don't have a lot of choice to make those moves. That's not how it's been here with me. And like I said, our football program is great to work with. It's getting better. We have a great Olympic side. I mean, I've been involved with. Should have been more. Shouldn't have put that on tape either. But we have about 8 national championships with our men's and women's volleyball. I've never been involved with the program. Played Division I volleyball and Division III at the same time. And then when they went, they changed the NCAA, picked them up. They went Division III. But we have tremendous on Olympic side of basketball programs and stuff. And it's been very, very enjoyable. It's been very, very enjoyable. So. Yeah, so that's why I'm here, and the other thing is sometimes your ego can override your butt, you know what I mean? And it never happened with me because I realized I was fortunate enough to be here. I wasn't probably as remarkable as someone guys you're used to dealing with, but I still felt like I was close enough to it because I got involved with the strength and conditioning clinic up here. So now I'm meeting guys that are coming in here and they're speaking from all over, and network sometimes, I developed a network and a sense of friendship. And it got to meet these guys, and that's been going on now for, I think we had our 15 years of clinics, this past year. So
wow.
Bringing in about, 40 speakers at a time, and but they're all great guys, and some of the been coming back is almost like family group right there. So
yeah,
it's a little bit too. So
well, I want to come back to that because it's definitely something I want to talk about is that clinic. But one thing I think that we should touch on a little bit is even though it's a fantastic place, I'm sure there's been times, there's in 13, 14, 17 years, whatever, there's been times where it's been rocky and it's been, you know, you're, like you said, your ego's gotten, you know, you're the college strength coach of the year. So you've had opportunities to leave. You're a one-man band there, things along those lines. What are some of the biggest challenges that you've had there? And what kind of advice would you give young coaches and that are coaches that are in similar type situations to say, you know what, I'm going to stay here for a significant amount of time?
Well, you know, everybody has their fit. The biggest challenges here is, you know, we talked a little bit earlier, but, you know, we do have 17 teams, okay, and varsity teams, and that's a lot of athletes right there. And it is a true juggling act. I mean, time management, logistics with the equipment we have. We have a lot of, now we have some nice, by the way, I got to say this, we have a Mr. Brumball he built the program. We get our fair share of money every year. They're doing the whole thing right now with another Mr. Anderson, and we have the equipment, so we're very fortunate in that, but we don't sometimes have the space, and we don't have the time. So I'm juggling different teams, like I said, in-season, off-season, I mean, pre-season, post-season, that's how it goes up into the summer.
Right.
The summer, we go ahead, we have the workouts for them, cut them loose, and we monitor what they do at a far with, except a couple of kids that are on campus, and that, you know, but juggling the teams. So I might have, two, three teams in at a time. And I have a helper, which is classified as an intern. And, you know, an intern that's working 45, 50 hours.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? We've all been
so,
there.
And doing a heck of a job. But that's a big thing right there. So we have our different spaces. It's not just in the main way. Have different spaces that we take, as far as, you know, we're doing our shoulder maintenance program here, our core program over here, we're doing something falcon over here with our tires and our sledgehammer, our ropes over here. We'll take the best running place we have is our science. We're a big science school. Well, we have the best building we have on campus, the highest stairwell we have is our Vaughn Levy, and we take over there, and hey, we run them with at appropriate times. We'll run sandbags and we'll do sandbag runs over there. We'll do stair workouts over there. We use our sand pits out on our jumping sand pits outside. We use every part of the campus.
The school, yeah.
So saying that, sometimes, yeah, I think the neat thing is you develop your programs as you need to do that, but you have to use your imagination. And as your programs develop, they start progressing. But, you know, a lot of good things can be junk if they're not put together. So we're trying to put, you know, that's hard to coordinate. That's why you strengthen this, you coordinate. You know, you're not just picking this, picking that.
Absolutely.
Sort of trying to coordinate with the teams and then right down to the individuals. So, you know, how is it? I mean, you're this communication with us, the coach, the athlete training staff, and your sports specific program, your position specific program, then you take right down to the freaking needs of the kid. You know what
right.
I mean? So we try to do that as much as possible. So
no, yeah, absolutely, and I think that's, you know, I want to kind of dive into that a little bit more. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you have a lift time, and there may be two or three sports at that time, and you're setting up different sections for them to kind of rotate between. Is that how you kind of set?
Yeah, we might have. Well, sometimes we might have one team that we just have on our platforms.
Okay.
We're doing a platform list to start them off. That we'll do our pre workouts. You know, we're doing some ladder work, warming them up, bring them, and we have a warm up a lead up program that's also reinforces a warm up lead up that reinforces. We'll start off with basically an overhead squat with the dial pin. Then we'll go ahead and we'll do a front squat with just a bar. And we're doing that just to reinforce the catch position.
Right.
Then we'll go ahead and we do a triple extension under the bar exercise, that transition from the high pull to the catch. And then we'll take them over and run them over to the brushing hand glutes and let them activate the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring them back and start doing our work sets. So I'm doing that with this team here, but we might have another team in the power acts that they're doing their squats and stuff earlier. Sometimes I have two teams that are doing clean. I might have the football team that's doing power with cleans from the floor on the platforms, and I might have by the way, women are fantastic cleaners if they're, you know what I mean? But we have a women's volleyball or basketball team. They might be in the power racks doing hand cleans. Mm-hmm. So, and now we're switching things around. And we might have another team that I put somebody with, which we have to prescribe a shoulder program with our dumbbell work, maybe up in one of our other areas. Now that dumbbell work could be a strength day with the shoulders. It could be a recovery day with the shoulders.
Right.
We just have so many, you know, and again, that all depends on what season they're in.
Sure.
And the communication part too, because sometimes I have the workouts. I know exactly where I want to go. I mean, I know how to get. I want to go from here to North Dakota. Sometimes the floods are going to take you around.
Yep.
Routes and stuff. So those floods, a lot of times, just depends on the communication of with the coaches, what the practices were like, or where the kids at as far as. I mean, we might have a hard day prescribed for them, and we end up going, taking them in there, and going, hey, we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna do a high rep with lower weights just to do a recovery workout.
Right.
Or so might just throw the whole thing out and take them to the swimming pool to do a swimming pool workout, which is. That's a heck of one. Sometimes that can be one. That's a serious workout right there, or it can be a recovery workout. So,
right.
A lot of times it's just communicate back and forth with the players and coaches. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. So
when I was in South Florida, we had a 2,000 square foot weight room, and it was me and another guy, and that was it for our entire campus. And so I know in that setting. You know, you have to be extremely creative. You have to have lots of tools in the toolbox, because you might not have, you know, 20 platforms. You know, you have to be able to integrate lots of different philosophies, lots of different programming and tools, things along those lines. But more importantly, you know, in that type of environment with limited coaches or limited equipment or limited space, whatever you say, the culture that you create in terms of accountability, because you only have one set of eyes. How do you go about creating a level of accountability with your athletes to where they do what you ask them to do when you're not watching?
Well, Coach, it's like this. The good ones, that's the test right there. If you're out, you can look and see if they're doing their warm-ups, dynamic warm-ups, whatever you want to do before, and if they're attention to detail. I mean, we bring so many kids in and they're not flexible. There's a reason they're not flexible. It's because they just went through the motions and they didn't mean anything to them. And
sure.
So that's what we're always trying to work. If we do it, we're doing it for a reason. And again, this gets in philosophy sometimes. It can get bad work, but, you know, it's implementing philosophy, I think, what's important, teaching it. But our philosophy, at least mine, is this. We want to make better athletes in a sense. We want them to be able to communicate with each other. When our athletes don't teach each other how to do, they critique each other's list. So if we got three guys in the squat rack, and we got our squat bars up, we got one guy squat spotting, and of course we teach our spot and safety stuff. There should be one or two other people there watching. I mean, they're watching the weight distribution. They can watch. These kids better know. They're looking at the heels, where the hips are, and where the hips are, where the knees are, and understand that. I mean, we teach them like that. So we do
right.
Get our kids to communicate. And because we teach it so much, we say that's attention to detail. We do things correctly every time. Because if you can't learn to be coached and do it correctly every time, how many times have you been in a film session in football room and just got your butt spanked and the coaches are saying, you know, like, I just spent five plays.
Right.
It's a whole different game.
Yep.
With those five plays, you guys that didn't pay attention to detail and couldn't be coached, and you know what? They break down. Hey, it changes the whole tone of the game.
No doubt.
Offense has to play different because of defense, because maybe somebody blew a coverage. So we, you know, to me, it's just important that if a kid comes in, he works his butt off in there, and then he doesn't put his numbers down.
Right.
I mean, that attention to detail.
Yep.
That's somebody who's going to blow the coverage, and that's somebody who's going to make it. That's going to be a factor in the game. So we teach a lot of that. I believe that everybody, I mean, every year you're looking for your leadership team, I say everybody's a leader. You all have to talk. You all have to take it. You know, you are the team. And I teach a lot of that in there. And I think we can do that with I think that's a great place for Wake Room right there. I think that's a great tool, way to use it. And that's what we do. And we push it. We push it. But we're real accountable. And even if you can't see everything, hey, they think you can see everything.
Absolutely.
It's loud in there. And you know something else? You probably know this too. I mean, I know you know this, but when you're sitting there, because as much time as you spend in the weight room as an athlete, you know, I really, this sounds really cliche, but I can feel you, brother. I mean, when I'm watching somebody in there and I'm saying, hey, right now, hey, where are you feeling that at? I know exactly where you're feeling that. I can see the weight distribution. I can see the way your hips are shifted. You're feeling that in you're not feeling that in your hands. You're not feeling that in your glutes.
Right.
Your weight's too far forward. You feel, and you know, you can see when that knee goes in. They're trying to short the stroke, get under the bar, because our rule is basically weight is dictated by technique. You know, and we're strength team, but we're ultimately when we want to get to the bar speed and the speed, strength, and power part of it. But you know, you can feel everything. You've been there so many times, you know exactly what they're feeling. And a lot of those feelings come back again from past experience of doing things right and calling more from having to do them the wrong way. So, but that's a little bit about how it works here. So we make it fun. We're hard on the kids. I'm going to tell you something. I'm very, very vocal, and I'm very, very, you know, I say it exactly the way it is. But we probably spend more time being positive and complimenting and hey, you get excited. If it's good, it's good. If it's wrong, you try to correct it.
Right. Well, I tell you, that's what I mean. It's exactly on point with what we do in terms of, you know, everything is built around the training partner, you know, and in our program, you know, we have, you know, we'll start with four guys a rack, and it's two and two. It's, you know, it's your training partner and your train, you know, and it's two groups of partners. And so I tell our athletes that, you know, my training partner in college was one of the guys that stood up in my wedding. I mean, that's the level of expectation I have for that kind of relationship, you know, and that person should have zero problem. It's just like with my brother. I mean, I'm hardest on my brother. You know, you should have zero problems having a hard conversation or holding people accountable that you really truly care about. You know, and that constant communication, like you're talking. I mean, you can say something. You can say something every rep, and it's easy to point out the bad, but every rep we should be pointing out, that's a great rep. That's a good job. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you bet.
And,
you
bet. And getting them talking to each other. And that leads into what you were talking about with the leadership part of it. I mean, I tell our guys, every single one of them are going to lead their family, you know, so we need to develop skill sets now that when things get rough later on, because they will as a father, as a husband, you have to be prepared to be able to handle that type of adversity. And what better training environment than the weight room, where you walk into the weight room and you get smacked in the face by life every single day. I mean, you have a goal, and all of a sudden you come in and you're uncomfortable, and you have to work together, and you have to overcome something, and you do it every single morning. And I couldn't agree with you more on that, for sure. You mentioned earlier the strength clinic, and it's a fantastic clinic that I kick myself every year for not being able to get out to for some reason, and it just seems like every year it's one of those deals where it's not timing up for me. But I know when I was the places that I've been, I've always put on a clinic, and the reason for it has been because I want to continue to learn, and rather than me go see every one of these people, it's a little bit easier to bring them in and have a conversation. But you ran a successful one now for 16 years. You know, for the coaches that maybe aren't running clinics right now, what are the benefits to them? And, you know, how would you recommend them setting up a clinic from the get-go to have a successful one?
Well, the benefits of everything you just said is you're learning, you're meeting people. Our clinic is set up in a way that it's – we – and I'm not here to advertise a clinic, but what we do, we'll have two speakers going at one time, okay? And you have the choice to go. And then we'll go ahead and we'll also have a hands-on. So we have things all over the place. Probably the bad part of our clinic is that you have to choose.
Right.
You can have to miss something. I set it up like that because I want a lot of options, you know, because everybody's looking, everybody doesn't want to come in and talk about speed development, you know, or,
sure.
or a football program. So we hit everything. We have physical therapists coming in. We have athlete trainers coming in. We have basketball, baseball, ice hockey, you name it. We have a lot of functional type people coming in. So we have that, and then we have the hands-on. That makes it a lot of fun right there. And then because it's so important, you know, it's just not learning, but we also, basically, we need to get those CEUs. So that's what, if I have three people going at once or four groups going at once, and I have to get there early in the morning on Friday, and I've got to stay continue to try to get allotment of possibly 20 hours or 2.0, whatever, how you,
right.
And then, we have a lot going on. How did I develop it? I've been real fortunate with the school here, like a lot of schools you work with camps and conferences and that type of stuff. And then we got involved with the different professional organizations, basically with BOC, which is NATA, and also with, started out with the NSCA, which
did
a fantastic with them right there. Got involved with the teachers. I mean, with ACT 48 hours. And right now, because we have a lot of physical therapists and stuff coming in, and we have, you know, different sports physicians coming in speaking, we're starting to venture out into with the PT credits, too, for professional development. But you got to look at the crowd you got. You got to bring the speakers in to, you know, sort of
right.
be interested in. And it's just a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun. And the big part of what we do, too, it's not just not going to those clinics, but we have a lot of social get-togethers. Those guys are around, and you actually get to know those people.
So yeah, that's great.
It gets to be a lot of fun. It's really enjoyable. So,
well, and like you said, what it's doing as the person that's hosting it, not only are you getting the opportunity to listen to them speak, but you're also developing a relationship to where I'm sure you've picked up the phone 100 times since meeting somebody and. Talk shop, asked a question, got advice, given advice.
The follow-ups, it gives you, it helps you with your follow-ups, and you have it. Yeah, you bet. That's very, very important.
No question.
Sometimes when you're hosting, and you probably know hosting clinics.
Yeah. you're lucky to see 5 minutes of it.
Then you're running a marathon, running from one thing to the other, and God forgive that something technically goes wrong, like computer breaks down or something, you have some problems.
No question.
Doing a lot of running, social time and the follow-up, that's fantastic. And, you know, we've been real fortunate. The majority of our speakers come in always, they give the email addresses, and they, it's just an open invitation to give them calls and stuff, because they like to spread the word, too. You know, they like to pass on the knowledge.
Absolutely.
It's great. It's great. So.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. I'd recommend everybody attend as well.
Well, you're close now, man. You're in East.
I know. I know. I thought I was gonna get there this year.
You need to come think about coming to speak. That's what you need to do.
I'd love to. Yeah. But last year, not to go off on a tangent, but my family is still back in Knoxville, and so I had to go back for an event with my kids, but. That's why I missed this year. But I'm going to get there. I promise you.
That's super. I'll hold you to that.
You mentioned, the involvement with the NSCA there as part of the clinic as well. But I know, and the people that have watched the show, they know that I can get on my soapbox about this quite a bit. But the fact that, you're constantly giving back to the NSCA and the community and the profession in a lot of ways. I mean, you speak. You write, you do some research, you put on a clinic, all these types of things. And, the common response when I confront people about that is that, I don't have time, I don't have this. You found a way, being a one-man band at a school with 17 sports and 500 plus athletes and, you know, all that to give back in more ways than most people are, you know, could even imagine giving back. What are some of your tactics? How do you go about staying involved and giving back to a profession, which I would imagine you haven't said this, but I know you feel it, that you've given back to a profession that you feel has given so much to you.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's just anything that comes up and I'm asked to do, I do it. And I think that's baseball, we all do. I mean, the more involved we get, I mean, the better. I mean, that helps me. I mean, for selfish reasons, that helps me. I mean, it's helping me learn. And I, you know, there's a lot of good organizations out there, some great organizations. I know right now there's, you know, but the NSCA has been a real good thing. I mean, I thought I knew a lot. I remember back in 90, I've been a member of the NSCA and stuff. 1991, I went to watch William Kramer.
Okay.
William Kramer, yeah. And he was a young guy. He was a long time ago. And I was just really impressed. I didn't realize how much I did know. And I was like, oh my goodness. So yeah, I got real hungry. So I got involved with that. I got my CSCS as soon as I could. And I just stayed involved with that organization right there. And it's helped me. That's helped me so much. I mean, at the time that was, I mean, I think, I don't even know if you remember who this was. Our idea of strength conditioning as far as education. Remember there was a book, Bill Starr?
Yeah.
It was way back. That was a Bible.
Yeah.
In our college.
I mean, Bill Starr.
That was way, way back. I remember reading that thing a million times through. The NSCA, that was the first, you know, that did help me so much as far as just myself developing the knowledge and
sure.
that. And it forced me. I'll tell you what, I had my bachelor's degree, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go back and get my master's. So I found a program and went and actually knocked that off and just kept continuing. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I think that's the key, is that you're going to be as involved as you want to be, you know, and so if people are, you know, and again, none of us have time, you know, and you have to make time, but when you do, you get it back tenfold, is my firm belief, and I know it is yours as well, and so I would encourage anybody listening, especially the older strength coaches, we have to do our part, you know, and continue to give back to this profession that has given us so much and find whatever way that is. If you don't like to speak and you have a fear of public speaking, do it, you know, by writing or, you know, hosting a clinic or whatever. But I think it's something that we need for us to take a step forward as a profession. That's, we all have to start acting more and more like professionals, you know, and I know you do that in a big, big way, but I know, Doug, you're busy, and I want to get you out of here, but I do always kind of end the show with some resources here. So give us the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received.
You know, I don't know if this is coaching. You know Tony Decker?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tony Decker, I've known Tony for years. I met him down in Delaware when I went down there to get certified with the USA.
I think he's at Velocity or something now, right?
Huh?
Isn't he at Velocity or something now?
No, you know, he jumped like a lot of guys did out. And he went back. I think he went back to Temple for
okay.
a while. And then the coaching changed there. And
yeah.
He's down in Philadelphia. His wife's down there with him. She works with, I think, with the Eagles. And
okay.
As a personal business. But Tony told me one time, he says, he said, what does this mean, man? He says, a mile deep and an inch wide. You heard that, right?
Yeah.
And you know, to me, I'd never heard it before, and it always stuck with me. You know, you don't have to be a Renaissance man, but what you know, you better know.
No question.
Everything, you know, as much about it as you can.
I couldn't agree more.
That's you know, smooth the professional development, your time in the weight room as an athlete, your time as a coach. I mean, as much as you can do, do. I mean, to me, I don't want to be on a football field coaching anymore, and I don't want to be here and there. But as a young guy, I think it's a good place to get started. Mm-hmm. Because you got to understand, you're developing people in the weight room to put them on a playing surface. You have to understand something about that playing surface.
I agree. There.
I mean, and you know, oh my. I mean, I understood this. Hey, I don't know. I was never a basketball player. So when we go out and we start doing certain movement drills and stuff, I'm not coaching basketball. Right. I'm coaching movement, general movement type stuff. And when we get to basketball specific, they need to pick up what they've been coached to do. You know what I'm saying? Or I could mess them up. How many do a lateral movement with an offensive line? Mm-hmm. You don't know what system they're running, so you don't know what the pad level should be. You
right.
don't know. I mean, there's just so many different ways to move laterally.
Right.
So but I think the more that you've been involved with as a player, different sports, and then you can take that into the weight room with you, and I think that helps make you a better coach too.
I couldn't agree more. No, that's a great one. I'm gonna use that one for sure. What about a question? You know, when you're interviewing your interns, who basically almost full time employees, you know, what's a question that you ask that you feel kind of gets to the root of who they are?
It's a trick question. I'd say what is the best when you're setting up the program? What's your philosophy? What's the best way to set up a program as far as what do you believe in?
Mm.
You know? And I think the trick is that, you know, last thing I want to hear is this is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because, come on, we live in a world, if I'm a weightlifter, if I'm a power lifter,
yep.
if I'm a function, I mean, high intent, oh my God, I mean,
right.
it's my way is the only way. And I think you got to learn that. I mean, if I make my living on the platforms, it's still pretty good for me to know a little bit about what high intensity.
No question.
Or powerlifting or west side or what this or that. I think you need to have all that knowledge and you need to sort of maybe integrate it properly, you know, because there's a place for everything.
Agreed.
Main and
yeah.
Yeah. So
I think, if not, you're not going to be in the profession very long, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, what about a book, app, or website recommendation? And or? Yeah. Give me one of each if you got one.
You know, I'm pretty weak there. I think the last thing I did, and I still have it down there because the last intern I had was, it's funny, I picked it up. I probably have the first edition, second edition. I got the third edition of the NSCA manual,
mm-hmm.
and I still go over that. And I still look that stuff over. You know, you get out of the classroom so much, you develop your own language. I mean, not my own language, but you know,
sure.
coaching language. But it's... it's nice to go back and just, you know, get the basics of that right there. So that's a good book. That's a good book.
Absolutely.
That's why it's a guideline for the certification.
No question. No question. Well, buddy, this has been fun, man. It's been fun getting a chance to get to know you a little bit, and I'm definitely going to get up there. Tell us, you know, when's the clinic typically, and how do people find out more information about it?
Well, we try to get it out. You know, the big thing about anything you have is getting out there, marketing it, and that's a tough thing to do. But we send it. Get hold of Junior out of college, and get on our athletic website, and they'll put you to camps and conferences and that. But we like everyone else, we go through mailing addresses with the BOC, and we send out email addresses with BOC and ATA, and then we go ahead and we go with NSCA right now, and they're real good. They send out the mailers and stuff. We send out flyers like that. It's generally in the first. It's usually the second or third week of June.
Right.
And we try to make it where we don't conflict with other, you know, other things going on and everything. But we have it where we have the campus to ourselves because, like I said, we come in here feed them. By the time you get out of here, you're probably tired to eat, but we have a barbecue and a cookout and a big party on Friday night. That You know, prior to that, we feed and lunch. We feed and breakfast. We feed and lunch the next day. There's a lot of, you know, we feed them. We put them up in air conditioned, you know, rooms. I mean, we make it really nice. We have a big tent out here. We sometimes we get the live music going. And we're doing that. We end up with our last demonstration out here, our hands on, and we got to crank up the music. And we have some beverages out there and barbecue, and probably we get some strongman competition going. We use them strongman competition, and we make a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, that's great, buddy. Well, buddy, I appreciate it, man. I know everybody else does as well, and you know, we'll definitely get together at one of these conferences and talk some more shop for sure.
Okay, I'm gonna count on that, man.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, listen, it's been an honor to get on here. You know, I'm always hearing about you and seeing your face and everything. It's really a privilege for me to get the opportunity to talk to you. It really is.
Face for radio, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much. Take care.
Hey, thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.